Praise the Lord. Today is a special day. My wife's 75th birthday today. She's looking good. Morning to the saints of the great God.
Amen.
Let me just qualify that. In order to be a saint, you have to be dead and witness three miracles: repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. So if you want to be a saint, this morning would be a good time to die and experience the miracle of salvation. Amen. Glory to God. If you'll turn to John, the 16th chapter, please remember the Stone family. Sister Stone's husband passed this week, and I've taught that whole family Bible studies, and I just pray that something great come out of this death. John 16 and 13, Jesus says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Before you got the Holy Ghost, there are some things that you just couldn't understand. Like Jesus said of Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this oneness of God. It was the Spirit of God that did that.
Amen.
And then John, the 18th chapter, verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, to Jesus, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto truth. Everyone that is of truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, "I find no fault at all." And then our last scripture before we start, if you'll go to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, verse number 10. "There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. We find they all have some kind of value in our life. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me." Lord, bless your word, anoint it, allow it to not only reach our head, but our heart as well. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. You may be seated. So Jesus came to bear witness to truth, and Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" I wonder how many people are really, really looking for truth today, or just something that will appease them or make them comfortable. Not everyone is looking for the whole truth and nothing but the truth. They will embrace a portion of truth that they can be comfortable with, but full truth will always cost me more than I'm comfortable with. When someone came to you with information about baptism and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, you had to make a decision, and not making a decision is making a decision. Can you be comfortable with just a portion of truth. Jesus prayed a prayer for you and me, and that's found in John, the 17th chapter, and verse number 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of this world, even as I am not of the world. We have to wrestle with that when we first come into the church, understanding that because the world hated him, they're not going to like us very much. We are not going to fit in with this world. If you find yourself fitting in with this world, there's something wrong. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we're sanctified or set apart by truth, and that can only happen through the word of God. I wonder how many times I've sat down with people and said, okay, we'll have a discussion about God. We'll have a discussion about what the Bible says or what religion you are. But there can only be one standard, and it has to be the Word of God. We're set apart by the Word of God. We're set apart by truth. If truth isn't important, well, we really don't have much to talk about. And then if you go to John, the 14th chapter, just before Jesus is leaving, and uh, 14 and verse 26, he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things into your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So it's the Holy Ghost that reveals to us things that others just don't have access to. They could read the same scripture and not understand it at all. But it's like a light that comes on that just shows us those things that we had never seen before. Many of you have gone to church for many, many years like I have before we came into truth and never realized the depth and understanding of God's word. I was thinking yesterday, 20 years ago, I met with a psychiatrist twice a week, and I think I helped him. Dr. Ralph Tompkiewicz was somebody I played tennis with for literally years, twice a week, sometimes three times a week, and he was well aware that I was a pastor, but he never wanted to talk about God. Just that's fine for you. Let's just play tennis. I don't want to be interrupted. I don't want to be made uncomfortable. He would say, don't talk to me about your religion. I don't feel I have any need for what you're selling. You know? You can't prove to me that all this religious stuff is necessary in the first place. And I told him, you have not walked into my world. I haven't walked into yours. You haven't experienced what I've experienced. If you had experienced what I had experienced, you would want more truth. I remember saying, isn't it amazing in science and medicine, you don't deal in feelings or conjecture or judgments based on inconclusive evidence? You don't do this. Well, I feel like, you know, I'd like to maybe open up your brain and see what's in there. Do you tell your patients here, take this? It may kill you, but we'll see what happens. You know? Glory to God. No, you find fact based on experience and certain laws of physics in order to operate in your realm. So then, doctor, how can you base your opinion of God strictly on feelings or man-made traditions? It was my experience in the presence of God that caused me to search for more truth. I needed to know about the God that I'm feeling right now. I'm not satisfied with anything less. You see, there are laws of physics that tell us that we can't have motion without some kind of fuel. You know? Your car is nice, but if it doesn't have any fuel, it's not going anywhere. I have a friend 2 weeks ago that bought a $90,000 electric truck with all of the bells and all of the whistles. And he has a retreat up north. It normally takes him about 4.5 hours in order to get up north. On the way back, it took him 9 hours. 9 hours because he had to stop and recharge that $90,000 car or it wouldn't go anywhere. It became a planter, you know? He told me he sold it the next week for $10,000 less than what he paid for it because I'm not going to wait. Hallelujah. Your plane is great without jet fuel. It's a nice parking lot. If you haven't had a cheeseburger for a long time, you're not going to be moving for a long time. You need some kind of fuel in your body in order to cause you to have energy in order to move. The same is true in the spirit. We all need spiritual food on a regular basis, or we aren't going to move into the realm of the spirit. Hallelujah. We are regenerated by the Spirit every time we come into the presence of God and hear truth. This is God's refilling station. It is a recharging station to allow us to move into the Spirit. And if we're wondering why, I just don't feel as spiritual as I used to. Maybe you haven't had a charge. Maybe you haven't been refueled. Because just because 25 years ago you were filled with the Holy Ghost doesn't mean that you can keep moving without being recharged over and over and over again. Hallelujah. And that's why when we come back from camp or when we come back from ladies' retreat, all of a sudden there is a move of God in the house of God, and people just want more of God. Why? Because they've been charged and charged and charged. Hallelujah. Why don't we have church on Tuesdays? But if you haven't been charging, turn to 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. It says, but we all, I did a deep study on that, and that word all means all. With open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, the image of God, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are being transformed into His likeness from glory to glory, and the word glory means application of truth and spirit. The reality of God comes from hearing truth and feeling His presence, and all of a sudden, we are refreshed, we are renewed. Oh, you know, I really don't need church service. I've heard so many preaching so many times. I don't need it. Well, you're going to die. You're going to become a vehicle that just sits there because you're not going anywhere. Hallelujah. And that reality is what happened on a day of Pentecost. They heard truth and they felt the mighty rushing wind of the Spirit. And suddenly, they're alive. And that's how truth comes to each and every one of us. Pentecost is not a doctrine, it's an experience. And you have to keep getting that experience over and over. I got the doctrine right, I got it. I know truth, but you have to keep getting the fuel, the Spirit of God that energizes us to become what we need to be. Many times we think people are looking for more truth when they are trying to escape reality with their own version of truth. You know, For years, I used to say to people, you got to come to our church. You're really going to feel the power and the presence of God. That's the last thing they wanted to feel. They don't want to be exposed to God because they recognize deep inside, I'm not right with God. But they're comfortable if they have another reality of what they can be without any real sacrifice. To be transformed to a fantasy world of make-believe. Why? Because they don't like the life that they're in. People don't like the life they're in. They put up a facade. They can smile. They can look happy. But they're really not happy. And because of that, you're trying to transport themselves into a reality where they can feel happy without having all of the truth. And their means of transportation or travel is drugs and alcohol, wrong relationships, throwing themselves into a job to make more money. All of these things they're trying to do in order to feel fulfilled in their life, anything to take them out of their reality of their life that's unfulfilled right now. And yet, what they're really looking for is something that'll transport them to God. And we were all there. See, denominational religion will only take you so far. And there's no bottom line to it. There's no results to it. That's why in the prison for so many years, the chaplain would get up and say, who wants to say the sinner's prayer and be saved? And the same guys would raise their hand over and over again. Well, why? Because they didn't feel complete with just accepting the Lord as their Savior. They needed truth and they needed spirit in their life. So there is a lot of concern about AI, artificial intelligence. The fear is that people won't know if things are real or is something generated by a computer. And they're trying to figure out how can we somehow guard against that. AI can take just a few words of conversation from you and develop an entire sentence or a conversation and generate your voice asking relatives for help or for money, and you don't even know it. It sounds just like you. In fact, this whole sermon is AI. I just put in, truth, and it just... You can get to that point, folks, where you don't know, is this true? It sounds true. There are many voices. Well, which voices? It's the ones that line up with the Word of God. God doesn't grade on a curve. It's not a matter of, it says, few there be that find it. You see, many are called, but few are chosen or make a decision based on what the Word of God says. Amen. And the government doesn't know how to control this technology. Pilate said, what is truth? Church, we are the guardians of truth. If somehow we compromise this truth, what happens to the next generation? And the enemy of our soul wants to confuse us with AI, artificial intelligence. Amen. Virtual reality mimics that which is real, but it isn't. Something that disguises itself, something that's incognito. Yes, it has some advantages. There are medical students who can practice surgery without a person, just through AI. You can take a tour through a house that's for sale without leaving your own home, All of those things are great advantages. The possibilities are really endless. The question is, will people then be able to separate the real from the fake? And that's what the enemy of our soul deals with. It started in Genesis, the third chapter, when the serpent said, did God say, you can't even touch the fruit, And we're Almost 6,000 years later, he's still using the same tactics, artificial intelligence. And some may rather live in a fake world than face the reality of truth. You know, I've got enough religion, I don't need any more. I don't want to buy what you're selling. I'm very comfortable in my living. I have respect from my patients. And so why would I need more from you? The Bible says we have to buy the truth and sell it now. So it just doesn't come easy. You have to pay for it. And most of us have, in a certain degree, lost friends, lost relatives, people who shunned us. Amen. But that's what they did to Jesus. If you'll turn to 1 Timothy, 4th chapter, starting in verse number 1. Paul is saying, you know, Timothy, now you're entering into a ministry, but I just want to make you aware of some things that are going to happen. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly in that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. Is there religions that will do that? And commanding to abstain from meats, does that happen? Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So he's saying, you know, there are going to be people who are going to tell you things, you know, that aren't true. And because there are a lot of people who will receive them, well, you'll be comfortable with just taking it on. Bible says, call no man father. But there are religions who do that. You can't eat certain meat at a certain time. You know, all of these things, nothing is substantiated through the Word of God, yet people follow those things. If you'll turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, it goes on to say in verse number 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious or self-destructing ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even spoken of. You know, really? Do you really have to do that? You know, we're living in 2023. Do you really think that God would have you? And through covetousness shall they with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So we find that we're up against that today. It's going to be easier to perpetrate false concepts and doctrines with AI and virtual reality. Look at Matthew 24, please. Verse 11, 2,000 years, Jesus said this, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, is that happening? The love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. I want to be saved. I'm not saved yet. Because there's a possibility that a year from now, 2 years from now, I could fall. I could be deceived if I open myself up to. You wonder sometimes, how can people go down such a wrong path with drugs and alcohol and different kinds of lifestyles? The answer is they've opened themselves up to it. There isn't something in them that says, this is what you have to do. They open themselves up to it. And when you do that, when you give liberty to something, and the church could give liberty to certain areas of your life, and all of a sudden it's got you and you can't come back. Hallelujah. This bait and switch is just an old hag in a new dress. It happens over and over and over again. Satan has been generating false realities to unsuspecting souls from the very beginning, as we saw in Genesis. May come right from a pulpit of somebody who has never experienced salvation but declares that it isn't important. And so we just assume you are the authority, and whatever you say, I'm willing, without confirming what is in the Word of God. Dress up as a real doctrine, but like counterfeits, many have no value at all. I can't imagine the turmoil in the life of somebody who all of their life believed that all you had to do was believe, and then come to that place where you recognize you're not saved. You know, they say that when a person gets a job in a bank, especially as a teller, they never show them counterfeit money. They show them the real stuff. And then if counterfeit shows up, you can tell immediately, that's not right. We need to reject that which is counterfeit. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Matthew, the 7th chapter. I know we've used the scripture a number of times in the last couple of weeks. 7 and 21. Jesus saying, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Amen. So there will be people who will be deceived. They feel comfortable. I detest this phrase of I feel like. Feelings can you deceive you? Jeremiah says, who knows the heart? Only God knows the heart. Amen. And then Matthew 24. I'm sorry. Go to Acts 19, verse number 13. There are some people who want to play church, but they don't have full truth. And verse 13, it says, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Not us, just Paul. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. You can't just play church unless you've got full truth. Hallelujah. There are cheap imitations, illusions, and sleight of hand in a religious world without God. They leave people believing they have a genuine experience with God when they have merely had an experience with religion. And there are too many people who have bought into religion and not bought into God. And that's what Paul was saying. He said in the scripture that they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God. Have you ever wondered why Israel had such a hard time with idolatry? You know, today we don't have too many people who are bowing down to a statue someplace. You know, but they bowed down to hunks of stone and wood, and somehow they were compelled to take these statues with them or set them up. I guess it even happens today. 1 Corinthians 12 and 2 says, "Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led." Well, there must have been something that caused them to want to come back. You know, the devil can imitate a lot of the things that God does. God's going to give us a number. The devil wants to give us a number. And I wonder if they bowed down to these images, has something happened? You know? Might have been a coincidence, but it could have been from another power, you see. They were in virtual reality or artificial intelligence, an oxymoron, something non-existent, which seems to be right or true. It was wrong. So how could they? I got to believe there were very intelligent men way back in the Old Testament, but how could they be so deceived in bowing down to stone? Hungry hearts are seeking trances rather than experiences and being lost in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's get together and hum together instead of let's get together and worship. But there's something that is fulfilling in those trances, you see. World peace is more important than the peace that passes all understanding. Glory to God. Fortune telling is preferred over prophecy. Alternative lifestyles replace godly marriages. We must guard against virtual reality in our churches. We can't afford to close our eyes and say, well, you know, those things are really funny. They don't bother us. That concept can take a hold of us. You know, it's the idea of, well, I stumbled, but I'm still feeling the presence of God, so maybe God doesn't really care so much about that. But it's really the mercy of God that wants to keep drawing us back, hallelujah, to the point where, my, then you start questioning everything. We can't substitute style and flair for anointed preaching. Programs and crusades can't take the place of genuine one-on-one soul winning, you see. Hallelujah. We get what we preach. We get what we want. It looks and feels like the real thing, but it robs us of a deeper experience with God. And it all boils down to how deep of an experience do you want to have with God? I don't know of anybody who has ever backslidden teaching a Bible study or in a ministry in the church. There's a growth process for us. The bottom line is we have to be real, and we have to use the Word of God as a standard for everything that we do and how we apply it to our life. Like I said, Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians or Timothy 3 and 5 in the end times, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That is not real. I don't even want to entertain it. And today, we're subject to all these new revelations. Somebody can come to you and say, you know what, I've seen something that nobody else has seen. And it's more to highlight their ministry than it is to help us. What God is looking for is a real relationship, which requires real prayer. A real commitment happens only with biblical holiness. Real singing comes from dedicated hearts. Real soul winnings come from burdens and travail. I want to see my relative saved. Could you go and teach them a Bible study? You know, for years, I taught Bible studies, and there were lots of people who wanted their relatives saved or friends saved. And I said, you know, I'll do whatever. I'll fast, I'll pray, I'll teach, I'll take the time to do that. But what are you going to do? Are you going to come? You're going to support it? Well, I don't know. I'm busy that week. Well, then you're not really, really committed to seeing them saved. Will you fast? Will you pray for them? See, that's what it's all about. Church, we have to guard this truth that Jesus died for. Not everybody will accept the whole truth, but what value has a form of godliness or religion if it doesn't save you? When Jesus comes back for his church, he will be claiming those who had a real repentance, those who had a real baptism in Jesus' name, those who had a genuine experience when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, because ready or not, he's coming. There has never, ever been a day like the day we're living in right now. You realize that Matthew 24 says, on the generation that sees Israel become a nation, that was May 14th, 1948, will be the last generation. We're right at that place. And I'll tell you what, this war in Israel is a sign of Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. Hallelujah. So if you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, if you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, there is no time to waste. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the time. If you've been here for many, many years and you've been hearing me preach and many other preachers, but you just need to take it a little more serious, because you want to go a little further than what electric vehicle can take you, then you need a special charging. You need a special anointing that needs to be more of God in your life. So when you get to those places where there's going to be challenges, and folks, there is going to be challenges, you have no problem. I can go as far as I want, because I've had an experience from glory to glory, truth to truth, presence to presence. Oh, thank God for church, folks. Thank God for church, folks. I said yesterday morning that I believe Jesus has favorites. He's not a respecter of persons, but I believe he has favorites. Peter, James, and John, he said, I want you to come up to the mountain transfiguration. I want you to see some things that no one else is ever going to see. I want you to come in my darkest hour to the Garden of Gethsemane to spend some time with me. Now, there are a lot of other disciples, but there must have been something special about those three that compelled them to go a little further. I want to be his favorite. I hope you do too. Amen. Not just hang around the church, but be the church. As our young people used to say, fake it until you make it. It just won't happen, folks. Amen. Every Sunday, plug in. Amen. Get recharged. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? Glory to God. It's nice in the airport. Now you can come into the airport and they have tables all over the place where you can plug your phone in so you can get a full charge before you get in the plane. Amen. Well, we've incorporated that in the church. There are plenty of plugs right here along the altar. You can just come up here, plug in, and get charged up. Hallelujah. And I guarantee you, it'll take you all the way to Wednesday. But then you have to plug in again. The altar's open. Would you come?